No, at this point we're going to resume the portion of the meeting in which the Traffic Council and board members present have an opportunity to discuss the different aspects of the plan that's proposed. And I thought I'd start it out by actually just really going through the points that are listed in Clint's presentation, just to see if there is concurrence amongst the Traffic Council members about those different aspects. And then we can discuss any additional pieces that we feel like we needed to add, to tweak. Clint?
I have hard copies for the Traffic Council members of the presentation.
Oh, thank you.
Anybody else? This will be posted on the Liaison Committee website, which you can get from the city website. It should be there within the next couple of days, so you'll have access to every slide that you saw tonight. The second thing I have, the Law Department has been working on the city ordinance for this, and I forwarded the language of that to all the Traffic Council members. Last night, David and Candace had provided some comments. What I did is I printed out the marked up version that has your comments.
Okay.
And I'll hand those out as well. That's it.
Right, and our compliments on an excellent presentation, Clint.
Well, thank you. Are you going to talk at all about the focus group?
Yeah, I am. I was going to save it, but that's for last. But you want me to do it now? Sure.
Just because I think I'm going to be here for the reason.
Okay.
Just on the focus group or whatever. I would just say I'd want to appreciate, send our appreciation for calling the special meeting, having it at least by this date. And I think most people, even Mark and Susan, attending from what we heard, I think, and what people said, most people felt it was, you know, very successful, very well organized and thought out. I would have to concur. And frankly, given the fact that there were a number of people who wanted to speak, and Clint's presentation, which was very well organized, and Spencer didn't come, but that was kind of really
because
enable people to talk. But I'd not say that much, and hopefully now we can take it from this point so that we have something that.
Yes. Well, as co-docketers of this item, is there anything that you would like to make in terms of introductory remarks before we actually move into the details of the proposal? You would speak
not
that?
I.
No?
Except to commend this gentleman over here on Lowell Avenue, mm-hmm. who already has adopted two teachers.
Oh,
and, you know, people along Lowell Avenue especially who mm-hmm. are not home during the day or away for the winter or whatever, you know, they could have some activity in their driveway and be a good thing. So I wish there was some way we...
People think somebody's home and let kids get broken into.
Yeah, Captain Robin likes it. Yeah. But I wish there was some way we could, I mean, Clint has addressed the issue because the city is not going to promote that program, but I wish there would be some way, maybe the residents on the liaison committee.
Well, I've spoken actually with the PTSO about that because I think that's really something that
oh, very good.
Should take up. And in fact, mm-hmm. at Cabot School, they have taken it up.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful, you know.
You can get Captain Cummings to probably give you a quote for that mailing. About
so you'll hear that when we come up on Cabot later this month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it obviously might scale a heck of a lot smaller than what we're talking
right.
about here. But I think that actually people were asking about the scale, I think, a few times, and for some of those they're literally off the map now. Mm-hmm. I think it was a really good idea to extend the mailing out because the reality is we don't know when all is said and done about how far the campus is going to be. It'll be dependent on a number of things as they come up. You know, it could work either way because if we have a viable voluntary program that comes in, it might hopefully pull some of that stuff off too. So my hope is that we, you know, it will balance each other. We really won't go well beyond where we kind of are. But I think it was good for some people to get noticed, even to be here, even if technically we're being told that and we haven't marked off the street yet. But you know, that's all we may be seeing.
Mm-hmm. So what other types of general comments before we get into the details?
Can I just ask a question? Does anybody keeping track of all the issues that the people...
Yeah, I'm just making notes and we will have Because I think that, you know, for Clint's benefit, particularly when the parking spaces are laid out, a lot of the remarks that were made tonight right. really speak to those exactly. particular things.
And just one comment. I think the work that Clint has done from the 5 out of ? Presentations mm-hmm. to the liaison committee and the input of that, that there were, you know, very few real issues. I mean, there's some, I mean, no mm-hmm. kind of this outcry of what are you thinking type thing. Mm-hmm. goes to the work that you put in the thought process,
absolutely.
In the iteration, in taking input and tweaking and changing and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and starting with a good foundation. So I just wanted
Thank
to
say
yeah. very impressed.
It really
Nothing
did
all
I'm impressed with your constituents. I want to move to Ward 2.
I know. They can be like anyone can speak. They can speak to the work that was done.
Yeah, that's true. I think Clint can take a balance.
I also think Susan and Steve and I, you know, we've had a lot of meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had Steve organized. We had a meeting a couple weeks ago at the St. John's Church. And invited, we've had, you know, there's, I mean, we've been working on this for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think that there's been a lot of communication, even though some people think they haven't, but Ward 2 is very special, I
would agree.
Susan. I just want to, I mentioned this to Clint earlier, and by the way, Echo, and I already told him this one detail. But you said all the hills,
mm-hmm.
if they're, I told him about my experience with a friend that lives on the corner of Walnut and Prospect. And the sidewalks were clear, but, you know, I walked out of her house onto the hill, and it was a sheet of ice, and I had to grab onto a tree.
Mm-hmm.
I'm falling all the way into Walnut Street, so it makes sense to get swayed, but that's kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's not just hearing the speaker in the day.
Yeah.
It's also watching out for the sidewalks as the weather changes.
Uh-huh. Melting.
It is.
No doubt.
It's concerning. And, you know, along those lines, lighting was one thing that was mentioned, too. And I was thinking that when information is transferred to the permit holders as well as the residents, that, I asked myself, like, what is it that we can really do about that other than to ensure that the streetlights are all working and that having one of those phone numbers, one of the resources be the number to call if you've observed an outage so that we can make sure that there's quick response time to those things. Were you going to comment on that one, too?
796-1000.
Oh. Thanks. Well, you know, actually, I think I will actually report on a little bit more information that I have gathered before we get into the details. Clint's asked me about it a couple of times, and he's eking out little bits of it. I think, and some of you have heard me mention this before about my concern about kids making the choice to drive and the need to get more kids on the bus. And, you know, how that relates to this construction period, I see this as a great opportunity that we have a bunch of kids that are going to be seniors next year who probably only half of them had their licenses when they graduated from their junior year and are going into the senior year, and if construction takes 3 years, we've got almost like a generation of kids who will not be used to driving cars. And as I think I'd mentioned before, during this period of time, it would be nice to be able to sit down and make our strategy for what happens when construction's over in terms of, you know, encouraging alternatives and pricing alternatives so it's cheap and convenient to take the bus and it's expensive and inconvenient to drive cars so that we can really get the cars out of the neighborhood and protect the neighbors that way. What I did since the last time we met is I have a daughter who just graduated from North. And so I got together a bunch of her friends to do a little focus group. And I resisted the urge to do this at her graduation party. So I considered that a certain amount of restraint. But, you know, I offered them food and brought them back another day. And I gave them this little survey about how they got to school their freshman year, their sophomore year, their junior year, their senior year, just to see, you know, what kind of patterns there might be. And this is only, you know, like a dozen kids, but consider it for what it's worth. And one student lives within a block of school. So the remainder were all within, yeah, they all actually ended up by the senior year driving.
Even one block away?
No, he always walked. And in fact, his family, being a friend of our family, had an adopt-a-student program at their house. So they had kids that parked at their place and walked to school from there, not on the street. But what I found was kind of interesting, that there was a pattern that was very consistent. The first couple of years, they all rode the bus. And they all rode the bus happily. And then they started getting rides basically from parents and then from other students who were getting their licenses. And eventually by senior year, all were driving their own cars. The reasons for not taking the bus were varied. A lot of them mentioned after-school schedules, the need to go someplace. You know, there's one question that wasn't really asked because parents weren't involved, but I think for some of the parents it was a relief to not be shuttling, and the freedom that the kids had was something that they wanted and the parents were ready for, too. The things that I think that were solvable that they mentioned were inconvenient bus stops, waiting outside in miserable conditions, uncertainty about which bus to take, you know, and a number of other things that were really solvable problems just through information of giving either posting maps or routes, shelters, things like that. Interestingly, all of them noted they enjoyed walking. None of them were really close enough to walk to school, but they were all perfectly willing to walk some distance if the weather conditions were pretty good and if it wasn't too far away. And they really all noted that they had an interest in the social aspects of taking the bus and carpooling. All of them really liked to carpool, but I think they don't think of carpooling as in the same way that a lot of adults do. They think of it as going with your friends in the car. And so the social piece of that was something that they found really attractive. Along those lines, some of you may have heard about a program that was recently started by the woman who started Zipcar, Robin Chase. You know, Zipcar is the car that you can rent for an hour. And she recently started a ride-sharing program that she's trying to tap into the social aspects of sharing rides. And she set up this program that's like Facebook, where people can log on and create a profile for themselves and then identify a neighborhood or a destination and the attributes of somebody they'd like to carpool with. Now this is, she just started it in April, so I don't really know how the results have turned out yet. I talked to her about it just before she was ready to start this. But it is online, and her pilot program apparently was successful enough to really market it. That might not be something that North will want to undertake just because of some of the security concerns about putting your child out there to hitch up a ride with anybody in the community, but it might be able to be something that could be an innovation within the school community that kids would be able to link up with others. One suggestion was for the school to actually assign carpools to kids, you know, to get, because they have the information about where people live in the neighborhood. I think most kids really know other kids in the neighborhood that they might want to share rides with, but one of the children, the girls suggested that as a possibility. Or to match people by either neighborhood, soccer team, music preference, things like that. Some of the kids that were seniors expressed the experience of riding the bus made them feel a little childish. I guess after they started driving the car, they wanted a more adult experience. And so something in terms of the physical attributes, if the city were buying new buses, they wanted something that looked more like an MBTA bus where the seats faced each other and they could interact. But the factors that they mentioned most often for taking the bus were convenience, safety, and weather. And that's based on the basis of what they made most of their decisions. I have a quote of the night because I thought this was really great. And one of the girls said, "If everyone took the bus and I had to, I totally would." And it really did sum up what the content of what they were saying was, is they did like riding the bus together when they all had to. And when they had options, they all sort of dwindled off, and then there was no longer an attraction to share the bus together. So that sort of brings me back to my first point, is that we do have an opportunity here because there's going to be a little deprivation probably in terms of them having options. There's only so far that they will be willing to walk. And that if we can listen to some of the things that they have told us, and maybe we need to do other focus groups and get information beyond this one little group, but I think that they can also probably be challenged to come up with their own transportation innovations, and we can tap that as well. Other opportunities that I have looked into that there has been an expressed willingness to consider are other services for dial-a-ride or door-to-door service for students. That would be more of a privatization of transportation. That is also something that people can do independently. It doesn't need to be school-sponsored. But I think looking at a lot of ways, I'm just bringing these things up now because I think we have a window of opportunity to start watching what happens, to think proactively, and to encourage good behaviors now and see what we can come up with for a new culture of transportation, you know, 3 years from now. But I think for the effort right now to be successful, the education piece I think is real important, just to, you know, let people know what's happening before it happens, what options are out there, and give them as many ways to not drive a car as possible. So that's just my recap of the focus group. David, did you have a comment or question?
Well, I was just remembering in college we had the ride board. You know, who's going to Ohio?
Yeah.
Who's going to, you know, Boston? So I wonder if something like that can be posted in high school and, you know, in the neighborhood and mm-hmm. see if, you know, we can get carpooling going that way.
Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Yeah. I guess I would look to bringing, I really think this is obviously a school issue, mm-hmm. or a board issue, of, you know, how the school committee working with the PTSO or whatever the correct acronym is around putting some of these things together. And it's a communication, it's an education, it's an idea generation. But I also think there's a missing piece here, and that's the parents. Now, I think back to when my children were in high school. I couldn't wait for the day that I bought a new car, gave them the old one, said, go, don't bother me, you can go to and from, you know, get yourself green, you stuff. You know, and I'm thinking now, sitting in a different seat, with a different hat on, going, I've been all that and that. Why, you know? And I think a lot, so I think it's really, you know, we need to engage, and I commend you on engaging the students. We need to engage them. We need to engage the parents. We really would look to the school committee and the school department
together,
too, because that's where some of the stuff, I think it's a wonderful idea, but I think they need to take the leadership.
And the thing that I think is the transition between freshmen and sophomores and junior, and that, I think, I do know somebody. I live, I don't know like how far I live in my six houses. And I know somebody who is a block away from me. Kids drive to Hall Street every morning.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
So, I mean, that.
Mm-hmm. It does. So, Alderman Sanderson.
Well, that whole issue, which I've been concerned about for decades, but. I do think we have a new opportunity. I mean, not only because we have this new project here, and several of the elementary schools have now signed up for that Walk to School
mm-hmm.
program. But there's other ways to approach this. I mean, whether it's parents dropping the kids or the kids driving, we have a huge environmental issue. Huge environmental issue. And then we have all these cars on the road. I've heard figures that a third of the traffic in the morning can be the traffic of just getting the kids to school. So that, you know, maybe Green Decade or something would participate too, or the pedestrian task force or whatever. But that's a huge environmental issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch parents sitting for 45 minutes out in front of the school with their engines running. In the winter it's with heat, in the summer it's with the air conditioning. That is so bad for our environment. And the worst air quality is in front of the school because of all these parents running all these cars. So but we're all paying for that. The asthma and, you know, whatever, we're all paying for that, and it bothers me intensely with misuse of cars. But in addition, and not as a punitive thing, but I think it might be interesting to study the health of the teachers for the amount of walking they're going to be doing for 3 years.
I just think that's pretty interesting.
But, you know, I worry more about the health of our children who are not getting, at any age, they are not getting day in and day out exercise. They are not having a relationship with the natural environment. They are not socializing with each other or different age groups. They are not taking personal responsibility and learning how to cross streets properly. That's what we're doing. And I hope that this is an opportunity. It's something that bothers me intensely. Thank you.
Brittany. I guess I wanted to speak back on that. I think you hear a lot now about the environment. So I think, you know, you could start a, you know, how green is your ride?
Yeah.
There you go.
Something we need some.
Yeah. The high school should definitely work on that.
Yeah, I can tell you that. My own kids. I know what speed probably can say. When you pull up to Jamil, somebody says, do you need a ride, John? Mm-hmm. Okay, my mother's coming.
Right.
You know,
right.
Everybody's mother's coming. And I say to my kids, now mom's telling me about the environment. I said, do you think about the environment when you say, come
drive
me?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. We had a really big successful walk to school. 5 or 6 girls, they walk every day.
Unless the weather was real bad. I think it was 20 degrees
over last week. Wow.
And
we
had
a problem with everything that day. It worked. They probably had a ride to school 30 days on here.
That's good.
So, but, you know, he can do it. Mm-hmm. Well, you're one of the good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Should we
test
the
to
permit program tonight? Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
Do you want to move it?
Well, actually, I was going to start by just going through the points and see if there's agreement on the
points
as presented them, just for the sake of discussion. I think the first question is really, should we establish a parking permit program around Newton North during construction? You all agree? Okay. Is the 2,000-foot radius an appropriate district? Is the Tiger District, as described, appropriate? Okay. the proposals for 550 permits to be allocated with 422 for staff, 108 for students, and 20 for residents with special circumstances.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
For a minute. 20 permits for residents and 108 for students. In light of the conversation we just had, I think we should really be trying to minimize the number for students as much as we can. And I think for residents, you know, first of all, with Hull Street, I think every resident on Hull Street should be getting, or every household, I guess, should be getting one of those permits if it's going to be 100% permitted street. So what is that, 10 houses already just on Hull Street?
Yeah.
And, I bet there's going to be more than 20 residents that are going to want one of these permits, and I think we need to, maybe we should think about developing some kind of criteria for who would get it and who wouldn't. I think we need to minimize it, but I think that some people will definitely, you know, have a visiting nurse or, you know, some type of disability. I don't think we should just be giving out permits if someone is owning a business and wants to have parking for, you know, on the street for someone coming to their business. That should be really off the street anyway. But I think it's something for discussion. I'm thinking maybe we should try to decrease the number of student permits a little bit and increase the number of resident permits a little bit and not go through the principal. I definitely don't think the principal should be deciding which residents get permits and which don't. I think that needs to be through the police department.
Okay, Alderman Samuelson?
Wouldn't the only people, the only residents eligible for permits be on Hall Street?
Well, that's a thing to talk about.
We can make it that way.
Is this an automatic issue for those residents?
Because every other street has...
Harry Morris as well on Elm Road. and he's kind of under the same situation. Maybe I don't know.
Well, he's in his driveway. What does he need permits for?
Some of the people in Hull have driveways too.
Not big, not like that. I mean, I can see some accommodations for Hull, but Terry has a huge driveway. I mean, if he had a landscape truck and three teachers, they'd all fit.
Somehow it seems a little unfair to me to have a resident who needs to have someone park on their street for a medical purpose and not to be able to have someone park there, but to have a teacher be able to park there all day who doesn't live there.
Well, because the teacher's not in that person's driveway. The Sergeant Northcross's permits address what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The parking restrictions on the residential streets remain the same. Hull Street, however, is becoming a fully designated parking area.
Right.
But all of the other residential streets remain the same. 1 hour parking, 2 hour parking, you know, whatever it is. But Sergeant Norcross's item addresses someone who has a temporary situation.
Okay. Well, or someone who doesn't have space in their driveway.
Right. Well,
I think that anyone who has space in their driveway
should not
be eligible for a permit at all.
Right. I think those are very specific situations, though. I don't think it's going to go beyond what we've got.
So we don't think there's going to be more than 10?
Or 20, right.
I mean, I don't know if that's including Hull Street.
Yeah.
In that 20. So there's only 10 other people in the whole 2,000-foot radius that would be eligible for a Tiger Pass.
Probably. Well, you know, I mean, it could be subject to change, too. I mean, this is the original, the initial proposal. And as we've discussed, that we will probably be meeting to kind of do an overview of how this is all working and whether or not we need to request any revisions to the ordinance at some point.
I still think 20 is not enough, and I still think 108 is too many for students.
Okay. Alderman Johnson and Alderman Linsky.
I think, because we do have some residents here, just trying to be out in a short time with what is in the ordinance, what needs to come before the board on July 9th, whatever's in the ordinance. And at the liaison committee, it's been raised, well, what are the criteria? How do I get one? And the answer from the mayor is we haven't decided that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is something that needs to be addressed. As far as 108, that a lot of time on the liaison committee, and David, I think you've been to many of the meetings, I'm not sure if you've been to all of them, is around that. And I don't disagree with you, but that is something that really has come from the principal and her representative. So, you know, we've tried to get her to go left.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big push by the liaison committee. So, I just want to make sure that everybody knew that. Based on the conversation we had, I would go for left. But, again, I think back to when I had to have on as the parent in 1994.
Yeah. Okay. Alderman Linsky.
Pick up on David's comments. A couple things. By great clarification, I didn't understand that the high school principal has three roles in terms of mm-hmm. residence, right?
Yeah,
right.
That's how it's
called.
No,
I thought that
was just Tiger Pass. It was
also resident parking.
I guess I'll rethink that a little bit.
But that's not in the ordinance. That's what I'm saying. I think the conversation really needs, because then you're going to be here on midnight.
The numbers have been bandied about, and I know that Principal Price has been generally supportive and really upfront of it, and I know that she got support for coming back with 108. So I would support if you were to go there. I would do my best to support a reduced number. Maybe if it's just pulling out all numbers. And so they got most, but not all. But I like the idea of less. I like the idea that that they should understand that the number, which direction the number of students has, it should be hit down. So even if it was 20 out of 10, it was 98 or something like that.
Yeah.
And if you went that way, I just wanted to say I would do my best to support.
Okay. I was just recalling what Jennifer had mentioned when we were talking about the student passes, I think, a couple of liaison meetings ago, and that she noted that there, and maybe this was Sergeant Captain Cummings' concerns about having a lot of inexperienced drivers driving around the school looking for parking spaces, that there were some benefits to having assigned spaces so students would go directly to a space, park, and be off the road.
Not disagreeing with that.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just kind of reflecting. And that it also gave her a means of actually regulating student behavior. And then, you know, I think the third point she made was that there was a certain amount of freedom, the open campus issue, and that driving included that. It was positive in some ways for giving kids the bridge, you know, bridging the gap between the time that they get out of school and
bring the students into the program.
Yeah, that's right. Right, it is. That's really all that we're talking about. Renee.
You know what, I kind of also kind of support David. I understand where Jasper's coming from, but, you know, if currently there are 45 on Hull and 45 on Elm, it's kind of under the 90, so, you know, now it's under 108. And, you know, technically, that senior class is getting more strong and different. So, you know, only 25%, I think it's a pretty high number. And to me, it feels like there's a concept here.
Mm-hmm.
Saying give out the maximum number of student passes, and at the same time, you want to start to educate people and promote this, you know, green okay. ride. And so there's a concept.
Mm-hmm. Clint, and then ultimate Albright.
The ordinance does state that the principal of Newton North, the ordinance, the draft that's currently written, the principal of Newton North may issue tiger permits to staff, student, and residents. So it does put that administrative role in one person's hands, and I think it was done for simplicity,
mm-hmm.
so that the principal would know where the permits are, where there are permits available, and we would be the ones that would limit that number and also give criteria for how they'd be given out. So I think if we're clear enough on the criteria, I'm not uncomfortable with having the principal do that, because it's 20 is not a lot of permits, especially if half of them are already going to Hall Street. I'm not really concerned too much about the principal deciding where 10 people are going to park. The second thing on the number of students, Candace, it seemed like from some of your focus group thoughts, I wonder, and that's another area where we need to give some guidance to the school through this, because their intent is to give these permits out on a need base.
Mm-hmm.
system, and that's still undefined too. But one of the criteria might be you get priority if you add two or three other students to your list,
mm-hmm.
and they would not be eligible for a permit, sort of implying that you're going to carpool with them because
yeah.
the other two names wouldn't be eligible. We could say this permit is for seniors only and
mm-hmm.
not allow any underclassmen. In terms of the percentage, 108 permits, that obviously could represent more than 108 students,
mm-hmm.
if some of them rode together. But 477 was the graduating class, so it's around 20%. Maybe that's too high, maybe it's too low.
Like you said, it may, if we introduce the concept of carpooling, that there may be some incentives given the distance to start.
The 108 was equal to the number of spaces on Elm Road, the number of spaces on Hall, plus the 15 that the school was
mm-hmm.
giving out by lottery
on lot
3, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was a sort of a no net new idea on that number.
Okay.
The other thing that the draft ordinance says is that students may be charged for the issuance of tiger permits.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think, I guess the... It's that, I think you or David wrote in here, who determines how much the fee is, how much it will be used, and how is the money used.
Yeah.
And I forget how we did that with the student sticker. I think we just left it up to the school to decide what the...
Yeah, for the bus.
So
for Austin Street, yeah, that's right.
And I wouldn't expect the fee to be a deterrent or anything, but I guess maybe
yeah.
it... Because most of the time, I think a parent would say, oh, that's fine.
Yeah, given the...
Especially when it's cheaper than the bus. That's
right.
It.
Okay. Alderman Albright.
With respect to that, I mean, I have something else, but if there are... Like, we have a land use permit from... What's the school in Chef Hedgerow?
Seven.
Yeah, sorry, my brain is in question. And they were making some changes to their parking lot. And we asked if those changes would be for extra spaces for the students. And the principal said no, that they actually also limit the people that they allow. That's cool if people can afford to buy cars for their children. And because of the neighborhood issues, they restrict very severely on a need basis the number of students that can park at the school. And if it is on a need basis, I don't even think that it exists. I mean, the carpooling is fine, but if you have a job after school and you're a guilt parent, that's a reason to drive, not because you're going to carpool with three of your friends. I think they have to, you know, they have to have proof that there's a job.
Well, but how do you prove that you're a guilt parent?
Well, and actually, that's a temporary situation anyway. That's not a chance to have a temporary situation. But, you know, 108, just say that there's 108. The people that are parking there now on Hull and all the other places that you mentioned include the person that's blocking the community that's driving there. And those are not a need to drive kind of thing. I really think we should start limiting it. You can always go up. It's hard to go down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, start at 75 and go up if you absolutely have to. Right.
I would have thought it was harder to go the other direction.
No.
To make more permits? Rather than
to
make less.
It's always easy to get less
restrictive. Yeah.
Okay.
It didn't, so Alderman Sanderson. Didn't the principal say it was need-based?
Yeah.
See, on Hall Street, that's open parking right now. That kid won't be driving.
It will be...
Or get a parking spot. Rainey's neighbor's not going to get a parking spot.
No, but they were figuring out 108 spaces based on how many kids were...
Because the way in which those permits and so forth are done, it's first come first serve.
Well, you follow up with an email asking about the criteria.
Yeah, right. That's right.
That's one other thing I want to raise, and that is there are people like this gentleman here who has already has permits. They go to the police department and they get permits every year.
We do it once a year.
What happens to those permits?
Police department. That's still public.
So some of them are go through the police department and some of them...
No, Doug, he's not a tiger permit. He's a resident parking permit by ordinance. He still goes to the police department. All ordinances are still in play.
And so why would they go to the police department for their...
For the tiger?
Well, why do they need a tiger one? Why can't they...
They don't need a tiger one. He's not in the tiger room.
No, that's
a tiger permit, not for you.
The 20 resident ones...
Are not for him.
No, I understand that.
Okay.
Why do the 20 resident permits have to go through...
Because they're not in a resident permit parking zone.
Okay.
That's by ordinance.
Okay.
It's that's a temporary situation.
So the existing permit situation is going on as without
change. Ordinances remain the same.
From this standpoint, then, I think it does actually make sense for the sake of simplicity to have them in one place because it's part of a complete program that is temporary and they'll all
go away
at the same time. However, I
did talk to Captain Cummings about the resident stickers, resident permit parking stickers, and making them more difficult to copy, and because kids are going to be more interested in duplicating them.
Yeah,
that
would be
the next
question. Yeah, it would.
Clint.
I have no hard evidence to support this, but I believe there are more than 108 student cars coming to the school every day because we almost always have a traffic council item on our agenda that involved 25 or 30 cars parking all together somewhere. We keep moving them around.
Yeah, we're chasing them.
But I think the number is probably closer to 200.
But we're talking
They're spread out around, but,
we're talking about a permit, though, to park and use your car. I mean, they can go park on Commonwealth or Washington and never get any kind of permit, but we're talking about need.
I don't know how the ordinance is written, but are you just having a total number in the ordinance, or do you have it broken out by the category?
Both.
Because you could say up to or not to exceed
100,
maybe, because that's kind of a round number. And then you can start by only giving out, say we're going to start with 75.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that way is it so that it can't exceed 108 and be done with it. And then what the numbers that are given out can start with 75. And
are we going to make friends?
We've got a draft of the ordinance right here if you want to look at it. At the top of page 3, that's how it's written. It says no more than 108 permits. No more than 422 per staff.
Okay, great.
And it basically says no more than 550 either, so.
So is everybody okay with that, in that wording?
I just have a question about is this going to direct the principal to hand these out by need? Is there a criteria that's going to be established for the permit? Okay, well, should we reference that in here?
Okay, we should. Is there anything that is at this point about that?
It gives a lot of leeway. It says, in accordance with the selection methods as she determines in her sole discretion for carrying out the purposes of the program. I'm reading the bottom of page 2 and the top of page 3.
Where it says no more than 108 TIGER permits may be issued to students, we could add something there. Who demonstrate need.
Yeah. Okay.
What about as another criteria for this, should there be a distance criteria as well? You got to live a certain distance away or you can't get a
permit? I think so.
That makes sense. You can't be within a mile.
You can't at least live within the permit zone. For starters.
Well, you're eligible to take the bus if you're more than 2 miles, correct?
Yeah.
So you're looking at the distance between.
That's like if you live within a bus zone,
you shouldn't
why would you get a permit?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think if you have a job and you can't use for.
There's a lot of criteria.
It's going to be difficult, I think,
for you to rewrite in all the criteria. Although I do like the idea of the reference on a past being set on a
demonstrated.
I
agree. But as long as we somehow have a message there, that it.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things the focus group brought out, too, is just,
Can I just concentrate on that? Because I think what Clint just said is absolutely true, that there actually are other people. I know in front of my house every day, three or four cars, on Gay Street, the corner of Gay and Clyde is another. That's kind of a new area in the last couple of years. There's at least three or four cars. So there are people that have found those outer bounds, and there's no restrictions there. And so I don't know what's going to happen to them. So he's probably...
Well, he's right. I mean, it could be 300. It could be 400. That isn't the point, though. The point is that we are identifying...
Mm-hmm. We're permitting
them. That is the critical point. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's Christine was saying. So now they may have to park for rock. I think, as far as I'm concerned, good. I mean, we're trying to change something.
Mm-hmm.
And the opportunity to change it. Not to accommodate prior experience, which has been problematic. Quite honestly, even though the language says up to, I'm much more comfortable with a lower number. And then we can deal with it later.
I actually think, too, that they ought to be directed to Commonwealth Avenue or Washington Street.
Yeah.
If they don't have a permit and they're going to drive, those are the places they should look first.
We'll put a little student parking sign. Well, would anybody on the traffic council like to make a suggestion for the wording on this in terms of numbers? The demonstrated needs piece for the student passes, that seems to be the main point of contention. Any thoughts about what number to start with?
The number of permits
per student.
I think whatever number you we write is the number that the principal is going to want to have and distribute.
Well,
I do think that, you know, if you have 108 right on the campus, the demand would go down if you're pushing them further and further away from the school anyway. Maybe we should just stick with 100.
100?
Which is an easy round number. Although I'd like to see it lower, because I think the whole goal is to try to move us in the in this direction of, you know, reducing the number of student permits.
And to encourage voluntary adoption as well.
Exactly. All right. Going once. Going twice. 100? Is that an acceptable number to start with? Okay.
And we're going to add the as needed.
I mean, with demonstrated need.
With demonstrated need.
I did.
The point of the problem is to add on the other side. So if you think that, that makes it 28 residential.
Okay.
Well, 10 of those would probably go to Hall Street, right? So we have about 18 left that we're saying the principal could decide based on something.
Well, someone was going to apply to her because they have a special circumstance.
And then I guess
it just gives her a little discretion. Gives her a little discretion.
And those ones that are going to be returned, basically, because they're just incidental, occasional kinds of events. I mean, the one letter that we did get from Hall was just saying, you know, occasionally, it was a very nice letter saying, you know, we understand the situation, we've lived with it for a long time, but every once in a while, you know, we have a visitor or, you know, a service person that needs to place their car on the street near our house, and we park our car there the night before so we can save the space so that there's someplace for that person to park.
Right.
And wouldn't it be easy if we could just put the pass out on that day? So, I mean, at least the one representative of Hall Street in particular was really not asking for anything that was a long-term, you know, permission to park their car there every day, but just to have something on a need base. So
it could be a little opening on Hall Street because all 10 people won't be using it.
No, that's true. They wouldn't. If they had all of their passes, they wouldn't
fine.
Probably use it.
Yeah.
Right. So look,
okay.
If we have 10 passes that we give to the Hall Street, you know, one to every house on Hall Street, maybe we would not have 100%
utilization.
Well, let's see. How would that work? If we want to get it, you know, have it all filled up with reserve, maybe about four or five spaces in case some of the residents use it that day.
Well, she might have a teacher she needs to put there that day, or...
Well,
know.
You would basically...
Fill some of them.
You've got 47 spots. You'd be selling 57 permits. You know, you'd have, did I say that right?
No.
Well, you would have maybe 43 permits for faculty and staff, and you'd have four others.
Something like that.
Because you never assume all 10 use the spot at the same time.
So it would be 100%.
So you'd, it'd be like 53 permits for 47 spots.
Yeah. So that would, I mean, that's not something we need to put in the ordinance. That's just an administrative detail.
Right.
That we need to put
so
in the general.
That seems much more reasonable for a street like Hall Street, so they can at least have a chance to use their street.
So do we want to call out the 10 for Hall or simply...
I think every house on Hall should get a... I mean, they live with that parking
so
for so many years.
10 reserved for Hall, and how many
that
remaining 18, did you say?
Oh.
Shifting the eight student spaces over to the other discretionary passes, or do you want to just say 10 and 10?
Yeah. Well, we've got flexibility built
in. Well, we can change it later, I suppose. We can always go up, right?
Okay.
I think that's a good starting point.
Yeah, it is.
Where I'm confused then.
So now what we have is we have a total of 542 permits.
Okay, we're going to change the overall number.
It does because
should
we took off eight student
but
permits.
But should we change the overall number?
And then
what
we did,
I like making it a round number myself.
Yeah, it is kind of nice.
What if we need it later? I mean, I think I'd leave the ceiling in there, but not allocate them yet. I'm mostly worried about Otis and Highland. Those are dangerous streets.
Me too.
Well, maybe those are permits that we give to the principal for her to use, you know, at the very last case or something.
to look at what they like.
I think it's good to have a few in the drawer. My teacher shows up.
All right, so we're going to stay with 550, yeah. And we are we going to say like 8 discretionary permits or something? Because it doesn't add up. Okay.
I would also add that I'm fully support the church's request.
Well, for a loading
zone? There's no parking allocated there, I think.
No, it's restricted zone.
I purposely tried to stay out of getting into individual properties, so that's certainly the intent, would to try to give them some space, because they are a special situation. But we can't accommodate every single home business or any other thing. But I think the ordinance, is the way it's been drafted, gives some flexibility in terms of locating. I just can't exceed the 40% of the available spaces. It doesn't say it's got to be every third space. I think it allows me, for example, on Otis Street, to start at the first home past the church and leave the
I think that makes
sense. That's their main request. I think if they want, they'd like the curb space that's adjacent to their property used by their employees and parents.
You know, why should the church staff be able to park right in front of their building, and the high school staff might have to park 8-minute walk away?
Well, I don't know if we're providing. The parking restrictions are still in place. There isn't all-day parking at either location.
I think there's resident permits in that area, and the church gets permits.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, it is.
I see.
There's something that doesn't seem quite fair.
I think they make it wrong. I mean, I think it's different for preschool children that need to be walked,
you know, into the building. They should have a drop-off area.
Say that for the record.
Why should their staff be preferential treatment over high school staff?
I don't think they do. And the numbers are, and they're all the your permits with the red numbers on them, and they were issued by the police department.
I'd have to see them, because they're not supposed to be getting them.
Checked into it.
What are the 25 permits for? People dropping off?
It has been for years.
Some of the thrift shop.
There are 25 employees at the thrift shop.
Some of them, I think, is why they have that.
Well, I think getting back to the ordinance, do we actually need to change the language to be able to accommodate them if, in fact, we want to do that?
Well, I mean, how come the thrift shop people can't use the pick-up and drop-off zone if the time is exactly the same time that the thrift shop people are there right when people are dropping off and picking up the children? Or why can't they share it?
There was a drop off, I think it was 9 to noon or something. I wrote that down. 9 to noon.
I feel like we need to have a drop off and pick up zone for the children.
But that's a traffic council item that we need to take up at another time. That isn't really something for this ordinance, I don't think.
We haven't done a nursery school. Nothing picked up anywhere. I don't know if I want to open that door. Every church has one.
Why don't we adopt the language as proposed and with these thoughts in mind that we want to do it,
They have to adhere to the current restriction. So it's not, they're not getting preferential treatment, except for the 25.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's a different story.
It's an existing situation. It's what they have is their pre-existing.
Right.
And handling it through. Where to put these tiger permits, if you will, seems to be perfectly adequate, but not necessarily late on it. So.
I don't think you would put any on that part of Lower Wyndham.
No,
you weren't putting them in front of houses, and you weren't putting any in front of that part of Lowell, were you?
Yeah.
Oh.
Just on one side.
On the church side?
No, they're on the storefront.
And it could be either. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shall we move on to time of day? Okay.
We're done with 2 and 3.
Yeah, we are. We have our permits.
We were unanimous on all of them.
Yeah, it was 550 permits. Total number hasn't changed. Students went down by 8.
Yeah.
We had 10 reserved for Hull, 10 for other residents, and 8 discretionary permits with the teacher to decide who gets them. The fourth point is, should the program be in effect from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. on school days? We did get one letter from a teacher saying that there were times when teachers actually work later.
But the restrictions are listed at 4. Which we can park till 5.
Yeah.
I mean, is there any case on any of these streets that someone who's there at 5 o'clock or 5:30?
She's not going to get a ticket.
That's
she's got a permit.
I don't think so.
A teacher's not going to get a ticket.
The only one was the Austin Street lot where the meters go till 6. But we're probably going to put permanent bags over the meters or remove the meter during the school year. So that they shouldn't be getting an expired meter between 4 and 6.
Yeah.
Either the meter will be covered or it won't even be there.
They'll have a sticker.
No, not really an issue.
Okay.
I think, like Christine said, most all the restrictions end by 4.
Next question is, should we issue permits on one side of the street and at a rate of no more than 40% of available spots to permit holders? And I think the one side of the street makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Looks good on paper.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And no more than 40, which means you could be less. Probably would be. Okay. Austin Street lot. Should 55 parking spaces be set aside for permit holders as shown on Clint's map? Did you check with the businesses?
Has anyone? They all received notification letters, just like the people that came tonight.
Do we have an economic development department anymore?
Yeah. Oh, we do. Did anyone check?
Oh, that's right, we do.
And we have someone who has been here for 2 days.
Yeah.
She was here tonight?
Yeah. Oh, was she? Oh, maybe not. Did she speak tonight?
No.
No.
Someone was in contact with you.
Yeah, somebody else already.
So I think I'd feel comfortable with that person, with Eve reaching out to the business community, just talking about it. But, you know, I'm not opposed to the concept. I'm just more concerned about the businesses.
Do you think that it may take too many at one point?
I'd like to know. I think that we may have to revisit that.
Mm-hmm.
So something we can adjust if it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Good. Oh, that's very good. Well, they've got a good lot, but...
Really? Yeah, because he's worried people move over to his lot.
I think most of the spaces that we might designate for permits would be empty by 4 o'clock.
Good point.
And it's going to be free parking, so anybody that pays attention over there, if you see an open space after 4, you park there for free rather than pay the meter. So,
well, maybe that's the case. To leave
and then
the
summers, holidays, weekends, those spaces will be open.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
wow.
I think we should leave the meters.
If you can't put the bag on, take the bag off. The bag
don't need to.
It really does.
We don't want other people parking there.
What are the chances? I mean, look at the photographs of the lot. It's open to any day of the week, and the back lot is virtually empty.
So maybe they should just park anywhere in the lot.
In a meter space?
And not pay the meter.
Yeah, if their space is taken, that they could park in any other meter space. But request asked.
Isn't it easier for enforcement?
It would
know
be a lot easier to have a designated area.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. No, that's sort of the preferred area that we
otherwise
should be parking.
You have to check the meter and the car.
Yeah, we have enough problems with senior stickers.
So how much would we be losing a lot of money by taking the meters out?
I don't think we're going to lose that much money because every time we've done counts there, the lot's only 2/3 full, so we'd just be consolidating the people that are parking at the meter.
And except for refund. Except all of us who will use those meters after the teacher is left.
That's only the last 2 hours of the day. The Austin Street lot is free on Saturdays. Anyway.
Now.
Okay.
The board could change that someday.
Yeah, they could.
55
What do you think?
So, but I do have a question about that. Okay, so if we have 55 spaces, are there 55 permits?
Yes.
So what happens when if
someone doesn't show up?
Well, what happens if someone is, you know, not supposed to, an unauthorized vehicle there, or there's snow there, or someone's parking in two spaces, if there's not enough spaces available?
I think what we'll have to do is have backup areas or reserve areas that are assigned for permits only but don't have permits specifically assigned to them. The teachers are concerned that what happens if somebody's in my spot or I can't. We're going to have you know, 30, 40 spaces that are permit only, like on the south side of Washington Street.
Mm-hmm.
Just, so if that happens, they have somewhere else to go. And I think they'll obviously, if that happens, they're going to complain to the principal, who will call the police and try to get a ticket written so that it's different the next day.
Okay. Sounds good. So we all fine with 55?
That's a good reason for her to have those 8 extra permits, too.
So that's a good reason.
Just a little cushion.
All right. Mm-hmm. The next item is Lowell Ave. There's 3 areas on Lowell Ave where 100% parking would be allocated, and that's the west side from Craigie Terrace to Arden Road, Highland Ave to Austin Street, and then the east side adjacent to the school. Any issues with those designation?
No.
Nope.
It's going to be tight when it snows, but it's the same case for every other street with parking on one side. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think we've got to try to be consistent.
Hull Street has the section from Beaumont to Lowell.
Oh, yeah.
There's 3 different restrictions. 7 a.m. to 8:30 for live parking. 2-hour parking from 8:32, and bus loading from 2 to 4. The remainder of the street is permit parking from 7 to 4, 100%.
Good.
Any issues with that?
Can I ask about the bus?
Mm-hmm.
Why do the buses have to park here? Why can't the buses park around where the school buses park? Because they block traffic like nobody's business on Hall Street.
That's true.
I don't understand why they can't walk around the corner. Why?
Because they're there about the same time school's dismissing, is that true? There can be conflicts about.
Yeah, I think it sometimes becomes a problem whether it's a bus taking the Newton North team to an away game. They show up, they can be there waiting at the same time while the other buses are off Lowell.
So it's not so much a pickup to go to a game, it's a pickup to come home from a game. It's at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock time when they're sitting on Lowell waiting for people.
Oh, Lowell.
I'm in
contact. Oh,
So it would be the other school's bus waiting.
I don't know whose buses they are, but they're sitting on Hall Street at 5 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon. And it just seems like they could just go around the corner where the other buses are. There's nobody out there. It's after school. I think that's just an administrative thing. And if we work with the school, and you know, again, they have an opportunity, new athletic director.
Oh, wow. Okay. Clint.
I'm sorry.
Just on that point, though, it was just fill up with cars picking up.
Well, there are people picking up, and that's what happens. There are people picking up, and then there's a bus, and then there's
lots of seats. Well, I think it's the people picking up, if they could pick up further apart, but I'm
okay, Clint, you next.
This is a pretty critical area in terms of a lot of people disregarding the rules that are out there now.
Mm-hmm.
I did include that area to be a tow zone well, so that obviously you can write a ticket, but you could also tow out of there.
Okay.
On Hull Street?
The north side of Hull from Beaumont to Lowell would be a tow zone. I mean, it would be live parking and then 2-hour limit and then bus, but it would also be towing enforced.
Mm-hmm. The whole day. Because that's a tough one when you have those changes.
And maybe that'll scare people a little more. I don't know. I think people are still going to sit in their cars in that area. But maybe they'd be less likely to get out and go into the school and leave their car behind.
Yeah, I wish they do. Okay. Any other thoughts on that, or is traffic council interested in keeping it as proposed. Okay.
One more comment on Hall Street. The ordinance as proposed by the law department, they found that there's currently a no parking restriction on the north, I'm sorry, the south side of Hall, that side where the homes are, not on the books.
Oh, really?
So they had suggested that we legalize that restriction.
That's a good idea.
So that is on the bottom of page 4 and the top of page 5 in our draft. And there may be a few others that we find.
Well, what we're by Gay Street, if they're going to start parking left there.
If you all are agreeable, if I find any others where there are signs on the street, that this ordinance would legalize those, not change any signs or put up new ones, but if you'd allow me to insert any more in there that are uncovered, like this one,
okay.
I'd appreciate it.
I will look.
Okay, that actually concludes all of the items that are included in the ordinance. We have some potential additions. I'll name those off. One is Elm Road. One is handicap parking. That you showed us some locations for handicap parking, and we actually have final authority on that. We did talk a bit about sidewalk clearing of snow. Question being whether or not we should request that the city services be extended to the Tiger District during this period of time.
Oh, God, it's impossible.
Okay, and then
we got to get residents to shovel. We got to pass my ordinance.
So, should we start with Elm Road? Okay, Elm Road. Would like to give an intro on this one, Clint, as far as what is the final plan showing and the bypass.
I think in every case, the part of Elm Road from Walnut Street is school property, and I would recommend that whatever we do, we make that entrance for faculty and staff only.
Okay.
And that's not something we need to do by ordinance. Mm-hmm. We would just make the recommendation
because it's
school property, so mm-hmm. we don't need...
Steven
that Shaco. Doesn't have to be in the law department.
Right.
I think that the Dimio Construction has said that they would put the bypass road in as soon as it possibly can be done, and we'll have to revisit, I think, this whole thing at that point to decide where parking should be, how wide is that bypass road, where should traffic be one way, this way, that way, who should be able to use it. That type of thing.
So it may not actually be true for us to make any recommendations at this point, that we could take it back to Traffic Council?
Well, I think we should definitely recommend that parking be maximized on Elm Road. The mayor's position is that the barriers should not be removed at this time. And you just asked me to state that mm-hmm. this evening. And I don't believe it's just on behalf of the two residents on Elm. I think there is genuine concern among the people that live up on Lightvale, and that's maybe just another 6 or 8 houses, but that the restrictions sign-based that say faculty and staff only entering from Walnut are still not going to prevent people from making that into another pick-up and drop-off loop. So I don't know if this is, I don't feel strongly enough about it, I guess, to make this a controversial issue, since it seems like we've been in such agreement on everything else. So I think as long as we get as much parking as we can out of that section,
cool.
Maybe it's kind of like a sleeping dog in a way, just leave it alone. But I'll certainly listen to other opinions if any of you feel strongly about what we should be doing there.
Okay.
As far as I know, those barriers went in by a Board of Aldermen resolution, I think about 20 years ago. I don't know if anybody was
I remember a little bit.
So,
because it was students, though, carrying through. Yeah. Okay.
Legitimate.
Makes sense.
I don't know of any funding for a controlled gate. I did have a consultant price it out mm-hmm. just so we would be able to know. It was about $5,000. to do like a card key thing where the teacher would swipe and the gate goes up.
So that would give an assurance if it went all the way through that only those people were doing it.
Right. So it's about between $5,000 and $10,000 for something like that with the cards and the little sensor at the end that puts the gate up to let you out, that type of thing.
And given the construction schedule, based on what I recall the mayor of representatives saying that nothing really could happen in the next several months, but you know, we're really looking at potentially a 2-year period, possibly less, in terms of when the actual finished, the approved road would go in.
Somewhere longer than a year, but less than 2 years, that they could build that road.
So we maximize the parking during that 1 year period of time.
Well, I think we would still maximize the parking in the future, but it might just allow a one-way or something a little different if the road went through.
Do you have comments, David?
I'm not sure. Okay, so I don't... So the reason that... the reason that Denio could not want parking if the gardens were taken out, if the barriers were taken out,
right,
and it was a through street, what was the issue with Denio that they were afraid that something was going to fall on a car if it was parked on Elm Road from a crane on the other side of the fence?
No, I think the issue was they didn't feel that the bypass road, you know, in the future you've got that little spur that comes from Blythevale in front of Terry Morrison's house. They didn't feel that bypass road could be built early on because of their need to move cranes around to put in a drainage structure to connect to utilities, that type of thing. The road where it is fine for parking. It'd be fine for through traffic, at least from the perspective of Demio. Yeah. But they didn't have the room to make another little road around the existing road.
So there's nothing really preventing us from saying we should take out those two barriers, maybe put a barrier on Blythevale instead, and you know, have it a one-way from Lowell to Walnut. There's really nothing stopping us from recommending that.
How does it match? You said that the parking would still remain about the same.
If you take out the sidewalk on the south side and make it diagonal, you can still get about the same number.
Okay.
Like one idea is, you know, diagonal on the side away from the school, or parallel parking on both sides with a one-way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really have enough room to do two-way and parallel parking both sides.
So diagonal parking on the road as it is now, with teachers entering from Walnut Street, would result in how many spaces?
60.
And no problem with the turnaround?
Well, it's not going to be like a smooth loop to drive around. You probably have to do a 3-point turn or maybe come out at an angle and back out and then go. But it's going to be the same people parking every day, all day, so it's not like a... turns over constantly. One person parks there.
They will so not mind doing this.
I'm sure they'll be... They're the big winners in this lottery if the school gives out the permits, because they got the space closest to the school.
My point of view is I just think it's better to keep it open as a one-way road. I just think it's part of the overall circulation of a clockwise sort of traffic pattern around the school, and knowing that it's only a temporary situation, and especially if we do something to prevent the cars from entering Blythevale, I just think that's in my judgment, that's, you know, I just think that the benefits of that would outweigh other interests.
What you actually pick up is 10 parking spaces, essentially, by opening that up? Or is it less than
that? It might not even be any, because whatever we do, the section in front of Terry Morris's house would be 10 permits, 10 parking spaces. I think it's no parking now. And that's prime. That's the closest space there is, actually, other than being on Lowell.
So that's just sort of the Tiger District that, like everybody else.
Yep. Yep.
I'm inclined,
but he's almost in 100% parking area, too.
I'm inclined to agree with you. I was more inclined before. I mean, if we're going to get about the same number of parking spaces, I think I'm a little more okay with leaving that the way it is. If there were a big difference in parking, I think I would feel that.
So if there really is basically equal number of parking spaces,
There's no battles, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Alderman Linsky, you want to comment? The conversation started a few times. I would be concerned that in terms of changing the flow configuration, even if it's not a temporary basis, it's already running into a long-standing conversation that has been happening regarding overall circulation. Maybe the subject of another liaison committee. I don't think you want to kind of get there, whatever reason. I thought when you presented all the options, the best one seemed to be that option 4 with diagonal parking, because I think it's the easiest in and out. And when you capture the same amount of spaces, I thought that was just a no-brainer myself. And you don't deal with removal of barriers, which is just going to hurt everyone and make it sensitive. And it's not interfering. And then when they are able to build the spur, then we can perhaps go into what would be the more permanent solution. But doing something different with that, to advance that, I think it's really, you want to maximize the parking, and I just thought, from my conceptual, the diagonal was the way to do it, because then negotiating in and out is just a lot easier, and you capture the same number of spaces. I would raise objections on the floor, but we'll take it beyond that. I'd like to add to that.
I'm a big fan of reverse diagonal parking, and I think that could even be an improvement on the diagonal parking that is proposed in the visuals that we've seen so far. And part of the reason why is reverse diagonal is basically the lines are striped in the opposite direction as you would expect. You drive past the parking space, you back into the parking space. When you exit in a forward motion. And that might give us the option of, when people exit those spaces, of not having to drive down and do a loop, but to drive out of their space directly, to do a hairpin turn right out of their parking space. Can you visualize
that?
Diagonal,
right.
Well, I think we have it anyway.
And even if you're backing, if you're going forward out, you still have to make that
turn. Has it changed the number?
The diagonal will be the other way. You're turning tighter.
I think you might find that Nick Parnell might like it a little better because he's worried about people backing into his fence. And I guess with this, when you come out of the space, you're at least going forward.
You can see the fence
in front of you, and maybe you're less likely to hit it. I don't know.
Well, the other thing that would bring this up too is that the Newton Center Task Force has considered reverse diagonal parking, and it would also be, you know, sort of like a demonstration project to see if, in fact, with a select group of people in a kind of an isolated area where there's not going to be a lot of traffic, to see how people use it and if it's a good idea.
Quite a good time about Beacon Street, right?
well, Langley Road and Lyman Street, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, I just tossed that out for consideration because I think that if we want to maximize the parking and we want a little bit more ease of access, I think that is a way to do it, and it has those other side benefits.
I'd be willing to try it. Only paid.
Okay.
My comments were only for discussion purposes.
You did great.
No, excellent. We needed to get through all of those points, and I think that is good.
You did great.
All right, so we're all set on Elm Road. Our recommendation is that we're just recommending diagonal parking and no removal of barriers.
Reverse diagonal.
Reverse diagonal, no barriers. I mean, with barriers.
Okay.
All right. Handicap parking? Would you like
to
approve that?
It's all on site, isn't it?
It's on that piece of Elm Road that's public.
Oh. Oh, okay.
So I'll move approve three handicapped spaces on Elm Road.
Second.
All right. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Actually, we can move on that because the only other piece that I have is the $25 fine. If we want to weigh in on that, if we think that's a good idea,
yeah,
we can have our discussion
first.
Now. Okay.
I've done have the discussion.
Does anybody want me to repeat what we've just been through, or
no.
Is everybody clear that we've agreed on the point by point? Okay. All those in favor of the ordinance as amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. That'll be a recommendation to the board. And would anybody like to make a motion with regards to the increase in fines for the district?
Let's talk about that for a quick second.
Okay.
We're talking about $25 increase for what? For you, for parking in the wrong zone, or for what, selling a pass that's not yours? Or
no,
what,
if you drive to school and you don't have a permit that you go park on Grady Terrace, you'll be ticketed.
Oh. Especially from them to use a permit?
Not having a permit.
Oh, not having a permit.
Right. The trouble is, residents will also get a $25 ticket if they misuse the parking restriction on their street.
I thought what this did is, right now it's $15 if you park over time.
Right.
1 hour limit, you're there 2 hours.
Right.
That makes it now $25.
Right.
Okay.
That's right. And it would happen to residents, and it would happen to a kid without a sticker.
Well, I'm just eavesdropping in conversations behind me, but I'm just wondering. Sergeant Norcross, this means a new ticket book for you, regardless of the fine being for a specific geographic area. So, like, for example, if the board decided to raise the fine citywide, you still have to get a new ticket book, right?
Probably.
Don't you need a separate tiger ticket?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we could write that under a...
Sure, the special. But I don't understand. If I park in Wadham Square and get a ticket, I get a $25 ticket. Why is it $15 in Newtonville?
When you're at meters.
Right.
I don't know if we can write this as a restricted area.
That is the right question. Why is it $15 to park on Lowell Avenue and $25 to park on Beacon Street in Wapping?
Well, they'd have to be different
it's
types of violations.
It's a time limit, 1 hour.
Well, that should be uniform then. The fine should be uniform.
It's $25. So I don't understand why it's only $15 in his neighborhood.
$25 for all of them.
Yeah. Oh, I'd like your input, frankly.
Yeah, we debated whether is this site specific because it's in a particular area, so we do actually have some responsibility make a recommendation.
Oh.
So it's citywide.
I'm trying to think if it's something that could be written as a restricted area. If it can be written as a restricted area, then no, we wouldn't need to go take a bus. We're going to need no ticket, but that's going to certainly take some work.
You know, I am so confused. Why is my ticket $25 if I stay over an hour? If I stay over an hour on that neighborhood.
Oh, you have an answer to this question?
What?
The ticket for $15 is for non-permit parking, not no parking. It's a $15 ticket for non-resident.
So if they go over a time limit, it's $25. So what are we doing?
No,
it says permit parking
right.
on Lowell Avenue.
Right.
So if they don't park on the permit, you call it's
the place,
bucks. $15. You're getting a no parking permit, which is $25.
Or, well, it's a time limit. I'd say over a time limit.
It's a different violation altogether, that's why.
Oh, so the rest of the neighborhood, except the permit parking area, is already $25.
I'm a little concerned about that.
Make it $25.
You're talking about in the permit parking. We're only talking about permit parking.
I was assuming that we would write this as a restricted area.
But if you park on the street without a permit, you're getting a ticket for overstaying the time limit, not for no permit. So I think the intent of the item was to make the time limit parking 25 rather than 15.
It is 25.
I don't think so.
It's 25 when I get a ticket. Well, your ticket book out.
We should require
the maximum penalty for violations in the Tiger District, and whatever that should be. I mean,
it can't be 15.
If a teacher gets, or if somebody has a sticker for 331 Lowell Ave, and they park in front of 480 Lowell Ave, are we writing them a parking ticket for a restricted area?
No.
Because, well, what are we writing them the parking ticket for?
We're not writing them a ticket at all.
If they don't park where they're supposed to?
Well, number one, maybe the neighbor asked
them to move. No, that's not
asking. No. Well, maybe the neighbor asked them to move.
Well, what's the purpose of assigning them to an area?
They're fine. Wherever they park, you know, as long as the neighborhood's happy with where they're parking and not complaining, they're fine. You're going because she and he and me and thee are parking there too.
How's it all day? Know that, though?
Because I don't have a sticker.
But aren't the stickers designated to a location on a street?
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens if that person doesn't park in that location, parks in three houses away?
It doesn't matter if there's no complaints to the principal. And if the principal calls you, that's a different story.
There's a difference between being three houses away and being a block over.
Yeah.
If it's Lowell Ave
and they're on Lowell Ave and they're near where they should be, if that's not the issue, the issue is someone else parking there who doesn't have permission to park on Lowell Ave.
Yeah, invasion by...
And they stay 2 hours in a one-hour zone.
And that's just a regular parking ticket.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And which is how much money?
I don't know. I have to look at the book. Call me mom.
It's 15. It's 25.
We may have paid 20 of these.
In a 1 hour? How could they be different parts of the city?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they made a mistake? I don't know.
No.
Do you want to take a vote on this?
Yeah, I think we should.
Thank you.
Well, I don't know that we have to.
I don't know if we want to take a vote on it or not. Do we?
I don't think we have the right information.
Well, it's not, this item is not docketed yet.
It's not,
excuse
yeah.
me. It's not before you.
Till Monday.
Till Monday. So technically, we really can't
take a vote.
Okay.
I need more facts.
We'll table that one until it's actually docketed.
What about for forged?
What
happens with forged permits? Is there a ticket that you can give
them? Well, what we do with resident parking placards is we take them away from the people for a while, and if they do it again, we have the right to cancel it.
Oh.
But what if someone
that's what we do. We get kids all the time at the high school that photocopy them and they throw them in the dashboard. The first thing we do is once they're identified, we send somebody from the school up to talk, or somebody that works in the school up to talk to the kids. And then we have a conversation with the people that they're issued to and tell them, we're taking it away from you for 60 days. And if it happens again, we're not going to issue you one. So I don't know how that's going to work for the school, where the school is issuing them. That's something they're going to have to develop. But that's what we do and we get it all the time at the high school with the kids that get friends who give them to them and they copy them and they throw them in the dashboard. Mm-hmm. Are we doing stickers on windows or placards?
Stickers. There may be placards in the first month just so things settle down within stickers.
For any particular reason?
You and the captain disagreed on that one, right?
If you had a conversation with him and you agreed with it, fine.
He said at the liaison committee meeting he doesn't like hang tags because people, when they get a ticket, they go in and
My tag was there. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just wondering why you're starting with placards and then going to stickers.
The only thing that would do is allow a little flexibility if there's somebody that gets a permit at a certain place can never park there. We have to shift things around a little bit. I guess it's just easier for the person to not have to peel the sticker off their windshield and put another one on.
Well, they could tape it up.
I think that's only the first, because after the first year we'll have a good idea of where it works and where it doesn't.
I think people are going to need more than one sticker, too.
The intent is that a teacher could get, it'll be an identical sticker, but for more than one vehicle, so
right.
If they don't drive the same car every day, they
right.
can still have
good.
A sticker in each car.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Right. Just a point of information, the law department did write in section 3, it's the top of page 4, they did write in a provision about the enforcement fee because they thought it was somewhat of a package deal, but I guess they'll have to take it out and add it back in. But they put it in as a placeholder, kind of in there, but that's not before us.
All right. Any other items that you'd like to discuss before we adjourn?
Absolutely not.
All right. We need to adjourn at 10:30.
I'm out of here.
Good. Yeah.